This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Glad you could make it. This is the Watchman.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, No Greater Love Manifested, Part 4. The Word is love manifested, the Son of God made flesh, became man and revealed to us salvation, redemption, and the flow of love from God's mercy. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, September 1st, 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Check out the recommended reading on the warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com. The featured posts this week are Christians Living in Turbulent End Times. Christian living in such uncertain times can be hard, difficult. Paul said these would be perilous times. For sure, we are there. Living today is perilous for many, especially those Christians facing persecution for their faith. But today, Christians in the many nations that have never been persecuted for their faith are now turning against the traditional faith of their forefathers. Today, as never before, there is a need to understand what it means for a Christian living in these turbulent end times. Also, check out Nations of Men, Who is Lord Over Us? Would you like to restore virtue, honor, and truth? Well, there is virtue and honor and truth today, at least those who have their own version. Kim Jong-un stands proudly defying the U.S. and world community as he fires missiles. In his eyes, he is God. He is virtuous. All the while, he kills his own people, persecutes Christians, and pretty much rules the roost in this far-removed kingdom of his. Prophetic Eclipse 2017, A Shadow of Unity. Eclipse 2017 was an event that was prophetic, a shadow of things to come, and one that brought a multitude together in unity, for a while, that is. So check out those articles at www.warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting at verse 10 through chapter 25, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 through 10. And the New Testament portion is found in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 50. To find out more information on following us, our podcast, or other items, go to our website at warn-usa.com, where we have extensive information on the sidebars of the blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, BMO, Blog Talk Radio, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR Warn radio events, shows, and more. And to follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be here, and glad it's Friday. It's nice. It's first day of fall in my eyes. My version.
Yep, this is the last whoop-de-doo weekend.
Yep, it sure does feel like fall. It did the last couple mornings.
Back in 1998, Tower and I had the pleasure of working the entire summer up in the Grand Teton National Park.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I was, really beginning a lot of the format for the End Time Ministry. And so I took the job and went there, and it was really hard for me to really enjoy the place. But I the other day, I happened to see a favorite photograph of mine of Jackson Lake and Mount Moran. And it reminded me of the time that I worked beneath, you know, the skies and, you know, at the feet of the Tetons. And I did enjoy it, but yet, because I was a location chef, I had several restaurants, two main restaurants plus all of the employees to feed. That's three. So we had three major feeding stations, and this was really, really, really a difficult time in that respect. And but I do remember it, and I say all this because it's really hard when you're called to do something and to try to go into normal mode and act as if everything's okay, because you're so busy, you know, dealing with the end of days and prophecy and the Bible and everything else, that, you know, I mean, you're just like on this, you know, this mode that you have to get out of it before you can enjoy it. And of course, I was so busy up there, that didn't help. But, you know, there were parts I really liked. I'd like to have enjoyed it. And a few years after I got done with that, I applied again, and the food and beverage manager called me up, and he said, "Are you sure you want to do this again?" And I said, "You know, since you put it that way, no, I really don't." But I was going to go up there, and but he called, and he said, "Do you really want to come up?" And I really don't. You know, I couldn't do it again. Now, if I could go up fishing or something, it'd be different. But it is a good work. You know, there's a lot of people that work in the parks, and we enjoyed it. It's a totally different lifestyle. You can't even describe it. But for me, you know, in Tower, we were called a long time ago, and we went out on the road in the path of carrying the cross and being pastors and working with people. We did that long, long, long time ago, before 1980. And we've been on that path our entire life, and it hasn't been easy. But we're still on the path. And over the years, the Lord's taught us, and we've learned things new. And there's things that God revealed to us later on in life. And so the path to follow the Lord, you know, it's one you got to stick with. And the knowledge that God has given us is, and of what we know, what he's done is so much greater than we were before in our understanding. And also, you know, we can visibly look. Now tell me if I'm wrong, Tower. We can visibly look and see his blessings on our life.
Oh, yeah.
And we
can definitely.
And one of the biggest things that we attribute that to is keeping the feasts, getting back to the things that the original apostles were taught to do by the Lord.
The new moon
and stuff, and keeping it because we want to. and understanding all the prophetic implications from Sabbath all the way through the feasts. And so there is a blessing. And so our Friday night programs, you don't have to be a messianic believer. I'm not messianic, neither is Tower. We go by Ephraim. And basically, you know, we are Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. I graduated from an Assembly of God college. In my background, my lineage, I have a distant aunt that was a Foursquare Pentecostal preacher. My grandmother, it was her sister, and my grandmother was a born-again Christian. My dad and my family got saved in the Azusa Street Crusade. Amy Simple McPherson was around there at the time holding meetings, and then, there, of course, they had the regular Azusa Street a thing that was going on. So our family was around all of that. And I said all that just to, you know, let you know that, you know, we do have a lot of new people listening. People on iHeartRadio, people going by our websites. We are on so many different avenues now. And one avenue I'm going to cut out. We've been doing a stream for about several months now, and it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week stream, and it's with a company, and it's a good price and everything, but for the results and the money that it costs, you know, it's just not, basically, we already have a stream of on-demand, and that's basically all it is a playlist with on-demand. And we have thousands and thousands. We have so many videos and audios that people can go to our website and listen to. So there's really no need to have the 24/7 stream. I was going to continue it, but there's just some problems with some of their software and the stuff that they're doing that I just am not going to mess with it anymore. But we are doing Spreaker, and we also have another main one we use, PodPress, on our websites. And both of those, along with our WordPress, are very, very mobile-friendly. And we have top websites, mobile-friendly, tablet-friendly, iPhone, iTunes. And so we have made the decision that we're purposely sending messages and teachings to people with smartphones as well as websites. And the effort is to get the word around the world. And the basic idea for this is that, you know, a lot of people in the world cannot afford a PC, nor the costs associated. But they can afford a smartphone. And it's easy and already most of the time connected to a free Wi-Fi or something, so they can listen. You know, a lot of this came as a result of our reporting during the 2014-2015 bloodbath by ISIS upon Christians, the Yazidis. We covered that extensively. And we were able to do so because people there, almost all of them, had smartphones or tablets. They were covering what ISIS was doing. Reporters couldn't even get in there, but these people could do that, and they would post them. And we got it from a lot of the first-hand reports, English-speaking people from Iraq and etc. So I said all that just to let you know, because this Friday night is a gathering. We have an hour's worth of teaching. And it's designed to be a little more relaxed and, you know, getting into the Word of God, enjoying it. And, you know, we do have chats available, but, you know, we can get people together for a chat if they'll come together. It's kind of hard to get everybody around the world on a chat. I personally, when I'm teaching, do not like chats because people get to chatting and not listening to the word. But we want to welcome you and let you understand what you're listening to. We are waiting for the Lord, and we are an end-time preaching, teaching, warning agency. We are also an advocate for the persecuted church. And we've been doing this for a lot of years, and we have established websites, established broadcasts that we've done in the past. We've been on WWCR, WHR, we've been on American Voice Radio, we've been on FM through American Voice. We were on Blog Talk with over, 1,000 to 1,100 episodes was on there when they were still in beta. But we moved on because our work there was done. That still has extensive archives of our stuff on it. So we are here, and we are sowing seed. Seed is the word of God, and that's what we do. And, you know, we welcome you. But we're not here to argue with you. We're not here if you don't want to believe what we believe. That's entirely up to you. I give you the Word of God, and the Word of God is the one that does the judgment. I don't judge. The Word of God will do the judging, and it'll do the cutting. So in all of this that I said, Tower, think about it a minute. Is there anything that I missed, and what do you think? And I'll give you a minute so don't feel on the spot. So at any rate, I've been considering limiting a 3-hour. Our Thursday nights are 3 hours. Now, the problem we have with 3 hours, if you're on a computer, that's okay. But if you're on a smartphone, 3 hours is a long time. So if you are getting to be a regular listener and you're on a smartphone and you have any ideas about how long you would like some of these teachings or some of our shows, let us know. You'll have to go over to our warren-usa.com and reach us there. You can go to our Facebook page. We got 3 different Twitter accounts. We are on Google Plus. We are on YouTube. We're so many places. We're on Tumblr. The word goes out in, so many different places all at the same time. A lot of it is automated through the various companies and things and stuff, the way we've got it set up. So it's scripts and things like that, and it just goes out. So at any rate, we are glad to be here on a Friday night. I think we're always ready. Don't you think, Tower? I can't hear you if you're talking. So at any rate, the eclipse is behind us now.
Okay, I'm here. My phone was on mute, I'm sorry.
I knew it was.
I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. And so what were
Yes, we're always glad to be here, and I just don't know what I could add, Dana. I just know that we want to get the Word of God out to people, as many as we can. We want to get the truth out. That's our calling, is for people to know the Lord and to hear his truth, because there's not a lot of truth being told out there. We're not trying to get a big following of millions of people to become rich or whatever. It's about knowing the Lord, getting his word out there.
Well, if I was in this thing to get rich, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. And I would have started a long time ago, not after 20 years, and I'm 65 now. So, now when I say 20 years, that's in the end time part of the ministry. Our ministry began back in the 1980s, 1981. So, you can add, 81, 91, another 27 years on that. We raised a family during that time. And, of course, during that time, the Lord and I had some long talks. And he had to do some dealing with me. But I remember the day that he came in, literally, it was one night, and it was when the internet first began, and I was an internet enthusiast. I had gotten a guy that had been banging together computers, And instead of buying the early IBMs, most of us wanted to go with the IBM compatibles, which is what just about everything is today. And I was sitting there working on it late at night, and the Lord came into my room where I was standing behind me. I began to hear his voice speaking to me about things I had to do, about he was calling me, this is what you're to do. And it filled my heart and soul. And I sat there looking at the screen because I wasn't quite prepared to do what he wanted me to do. I ended up doing it, of course, but my eyes, you know, I was just sitting there weeping and crying. I said, Lord, I just don't know how I can do that. Look at me. At the time, I had physical problems, and over the course of about a year, the Lord raised me up. I ended up, there was a course for me to get healed. I got healed, and it was a long time. It was a fight and a battle, and I was healed. So I've, you know, I know when you get into the end time calling, and we do this because we're using technology to reach out, and we can reach more people and have reached more people than you can reach, you know, in virtually any other way. And the whole thing is that in these last days, this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Now, see, our goal is not to convert the world. Our goal, and any Christian's goal, is to be a witness. That's our goal. The Lord said not everybody's going to come to him. So you're not going to convert the world, and you're going to have enemies, and they're going to hate you, and they're going to try to kill you. He says all that. Do not be afraid of what men may do. Do not fear men, but fear him who is able to kill the body and destroy the soul. Yea, fear him. So catch the vision. This is what we're doing. And if you've got some ideas, go to our websites, warren-usa.com. Let us know how you heard us, when you heard us, and you can get a hold of us that way. Go to the contact page. I don't give out my email for obvious reasons. Over the course of the years, I've stopped doing that years ago. There's a lot of things I don't do because there's so much out there that can harm you and the websites. So we've got layers of spam protection, layers of every kind of protection from hackers, and it's just absolutely irresponsible that people are like that, but they are. And so at any rate, let's get on with this. You know, Tower, I'm glad that we got done, and we've said this before, got done with the eclipse, and we can get on now with the rest of the 2017.
Yeah.
And
don't I was just going to throw in a plug for Houston. Don't forget to pray for the people in Houston, and be careful who you donate to.
You know,
need help.
There was a major story on that today. I mean, one that I've seen. And people, you know, they are warning you to be careful. Because there's a lot of shady characters, like Linda Sarsu, who was donating. She said donate to the victims of the hurricane. And she mentioned, you know, Houston and the whole nine yards. She didn't tell you where the money was going. The money was going to a leftist organization she supports. And this Linda Sarsu is not a friend of America. She's a friend of Islam. And she would rejoice if America fell. And, you know, that's what this woman is. It's kind of funny to me, Tower, that Muslims like her can have a voice and say virtually anything they want, and not many people say anything. But you have a little crowd of white supremacists, Nazis out there, and the whole world's coming to an end. And what the world is so stupid about is that, you know, when the Muslims decide to go, and really their goal is worldwide domination, you know, and so when they move in that respect, you know, the history of Islamic wars is bloody and violent. And we saw what they would do through the Middle East in 2014, 2015 to Christians, Yazidis, and others, raping, pillaging, murdering men, women, children, boys, and girls. We saw that. We reported it. It's verified. So it you know, we've got a two-faced country out here. You know.
It disturbs me, the unconscionable wickedness and the depravity of people to take away from the people that really need the help. They're preying on them like a vulture. That's disturbing to me, the wickedness.
Well, you know, Paul addressed that in Timothy when he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he talks about how bad people are. He doesn't leave anything out. You go through that list and you say, dear God in heaven, look at all that. They're all that, you know.
Well, I mean, I know.
You know, they're despisers of those who do good, you know. Backbiters, proud, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it goes on and on and on and on. And you look at today's society, and you would have thought Paul was sitting on a corner street somewhere for about 6 months writing down all the attributes of the people that he saw.
Yeah.
But he saw this in the spirit, you know, way back when, in the beginning of all this.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what the Spirit of God will do. I mean, you know, the Spirit of God, once the Spirit reveals, and of course he had the anointing of an apostle too, so there's a lot of stuff he got, not just through the Spirit of God, but he got it by direct revelation, which he talks about. And so that's really one of the main attributes of an apostle, is a direct revelation where you see the Lord in direct call. And so, yeah. So at any rate, we're going to get started on this. We are, and unless you have something.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, we're in no greater love, and this one's manifested. And time and time again, as we talk about this, we wind up getting back to the same old thing, that the Lord came. Now, see, for the world today, and even many of the Jews, it's really interesting, today, or this week, it was coming out that the Sanhedrin now in Israel, and they're the group of the, of course, the Jewish leaders, Pharisees and such, that lead. This is a big group of mucky mucks. Paul was part of them. And that was before he got, of course, saved. He had to get out of that mucky mess in order to get saved. But at any rate, they came out. This is the ones in Israel. And said that if you are a Messianic Jew and you want to get married as a Jew, you cannot get married because you are a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Therefore, you are false and you cannot get married in a traditional rabbi-Jewish wedding. And, of course, we've known about the oppression of the Messianic Jews in Israel for years and years and years. I interviewed Moaz Israel. He's since retired. He's still working with them, but Ari and his wife, but I interviewed Ari years ago. And so we're not new to, you know, the trouble that the Messianics in Israel are having. And sometimes I think that the Christians who are for Israel fail to understand that the very Jews that they're supporting, if you're living over there as a Christian, there's some of those that just soon kill you, just look at you, just like the Muslims would. So Israel is not a friend in that respect. And I support Israel, but I don't support the policies of the Sanhedrin and the things that they do. And that's not the only ruling they made. They also rejected gay marriage as well. So they judged a gay marriage and said, well, no, that's not a real marriage. We know what the rest of the world is doing, but we're not going to do it. And then they came against the Messianic Jews. So that's kind of what Israel's like. So we're in quite a thing. So make no mistake about it. When we start talking about Yahshua and Jesus Christ and our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and we start talking about the same things as the apostles and believing what they believed, you're going to make enemies, a lot of enemies. And this world is full of those enemies. And when we talk about greater love, the Jews, there's no way they can know a greater love than the one we have found through Christ. Now, see, they serve a God, and they keep the commandments, and at times, you know, you can see them weeping over the Word of God as they're praying it over and over and over again as they stand by the wall. But the bottom line of it is that there's more to God than just law. It's mercy, and it's grace. And see, many of them claim to be, you know, of Moses or Abraham, but you see, actually both of them, but see, Abraham was justified by faith, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, Scripture says, because he believed God. Now, in John 1:1-13, now, you've probably read this 100 times, but I'm going to do this. We're in part 4, and I'm going to again talk about this, because the crux of redemption is believing and understanding that there is only one true truth. There is only one who died and fulfilled the law. Now see, the Jews don't fulfill the law in that. They cannot fulfill the atonement law. They can do it through a high priest if they can still do it, but that's the bulls of blood of animals. So, you know, this whole thing, Christ replaced all of that. He fulfilled the law because God had determined that the blood would have life and that the blood would be used for the atoning of men's sins. And so that is exactly where we were, or where we, when we talk about the Old Testament and the sacrifices, when we talk about, you know, the Day of Atonement. The Jews, one of the holiest days, it's a commanded fast. And for us as Christians, and also that do keep the things that the apostles kept and stuff, you know, the Day of Atonement is a fast day. But we're already in the book through Christ. So we spend the day, you know, praying and understanding that what God has done to, done for us, but we also pray for Israel. Now, Israel will come to the Lord, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is Yahshua. And you will see in Revelation, again, John's Revelation, and you'll see Yahshua, Jesus, is the Word. And so in the beginning, it was not only the Word. Now, if you go to 1 John chapter 1, you'll see John writing the same thing, but in a little bit different way, but it means the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Yahshua, when he came, he was fully man and fully God. He was in the beginning. He is the Word. And when he came in the flesh, he's the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh, the Word that was with God, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. And he was also God. Now see, this is where the Jews have a problem, because they believe in the Old Testament revelation, which hadn't been made known yet. Although we do find in the Old Testament, you will find references, does anybody know God? Do they know his son? And in Psalm 2, it says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. And, you know, Moses, one of the first prophecies, talks about a prophet. And this prophet that he talks about is one of the offices that Christ fulfilled, and it's speaking of the coming of Christ, which is the anointed one. Excuse me. And the same was in the beginning with God, verse 2, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now see, God had determined that he was going, and even the Lord talked about this. He says, my Father has given me power, you know, that the power to give my life and to take it back again. And he says, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. And he says, you know, on the resurrection day, many, many times, I mean, you can read this in the Gospels. You know, there is a resurrection, and he's going to raise people from the dead. And when he went over to his Martha and Mary and Lazarus and raised him from the dead, he was talking to Mary and Martha, you know, to the crowd there, and the whole thing was about him being the resurrection and the life. That's the reason this happened. It was an illustration. in real life as to the power that was given to him. And it says, and the light shines in the darkness. The light was Christ, the Word of God, that shone in the darkness, not just the darkness of Rome and the darkness of Jerusalem, but in the darkness of the hearts of the Jews, who they had been waiting for the greater Son of David. But they were waiting for a political figure. They weren't waiting for, you know, the suffering servant. And that's exactly what he was. And he was going to die on the cross, because there had to be the final fulfillment of the atonement which God wanted. And that atonement could only be done through the shed blood of someone who is perfect. And that would meet the law requirements. And so he became the lamb, you know, and that was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He was the atoning sacrifice for the Day of Atonement, fulfilled that. He also fulfilled the role of the high priest. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's not after the order of Levi. That is man established through the loins of men. Now Christ, he came out of Mary, but the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and he was divine. And so he came through that way. But he was very much God, and God in the flesh, and he came for a reason. Now, in verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, see, that's exactly what this is. You know, it's not rocket science. There may be things that you don't understand how it works. You may not know how someone could raise from the dead. You may not know how someone who is God could come down and actually manifest himself in the womb of a female and be born again as a human, and still know from birth all the way up that he was the Son of God and is the Son of God. And that's exactly what Jesus was, Yahshua. He knew from the instant. He had angels watching over him. They were watching over him when he was in the manger. They were watching over him as he grew. When the persecution arose and they were trying to kill all the children, because the authorities there found out about it, that he was instructed to go down into Egypt. And so of John it says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. Now, I remember years ago, I did a lot, and I still do a lot of writing. But, you know, folks, it's okay to write about light. This one brother in Christ got mad at me. He said, boy, you write about light all the time. He says, not even right to light, to write about light. He didn't like the fact that I'd written about light, but light is all over if you read it in the Bible. You know, he is the one that lights the darkness. You know, when he says a candle, you know, hid under a bushel, you know, that's not what you do. No, you raise it up for everybody to see. If you're in a room, you have a candle. You don't hide it. You let it shine. Why did he use all that? Because that's light. And when you believe on him, remember the little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. See, everything about Christ is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if you're a Christian and you don't like the references to light, you better repent and get right with God. Because light is what Christ is. Light is what we as believers are supposed to be. Light is the difference between darkness and light. Duh. If you're in the dark, you cannot see. And this world is in the dark. They think they see. They think they have the truth. But they don't have the truth. And many of them will not listen. They go out and killing and pillaging and raping like ISIS did. Or Al-Shabaab or Al-Qaeda. Just to mention a few. And then there's many that are not religiously motivated like these extremist Muslims. But there's also extremist Hindus that kill for their faith. Extremist Sikhs. Over in Nepal, they passed legislation against conversion over there. Well, the Muslims have beat them. The Muslims have been doing that for years. But now in Nepal, if you're a Christian over there, or a preacher, or a missionary, and someone converts to Christianity under your ministry, you could be thrown in jail because you cannot convert anybody. See, because the world is terrified that their people are going to all become Christian. See, that's why they do that. And they don't understand it. And neither do the Muslims who aren't born again. See, and there's a lot of Christian Muslims, you know, they're not Christian Muslims, but they're former Muslims who are Christians. And, you know, God goes into these closed countries, even in North Korea, and people get saved. And they come to know the true and the living God, and they find his power. Now, I'm telling you, this is more than a religion. It's an experience. The Lord is alive. You're surrounded with angels that are really there. They really are there. They respond to the word of God. And they can manifest themselves, but they don't manifest themselves. You're supposed to walk by faith, but there are some duties where they are required to manifest themselves. But for the most part, they go before you. They encamp round about you to deliver you, you know? And so you have a whole army of help. You just don't see it. And you have the Word of God. Now, when we live in a world that's dark, everything is dark. And that is, you know, they come against, like Paul, they come against conversion of Christians. Or you have ISIS that goes out and goes to the Middle East, and they kill everybody that doesn't agree with them, especially the Christians. And so we have in Egypt them killing Christians. ISIS, there's some Egyptian ISIS over there in the Sinai. And they've made statements, we love killing Christians. They're the greatest target for us. We love them. And the reason they love them is because these Christians don't have guns. They don't have any way of defense. And they want to walk in love and they want to win people. So these, you know, they wind up getting slaughtered. And these ISIS love it. Yeah, well, how hard is it to make war against someone that isn't going to shoot back? See, that is where the scripture's fulfilled. You know, they are led as sheep to the slaughter. But see, I'm telling you, in these end days, there's a new kind of power that's going to be among the believers, and they're not all going to have it. But I guarantee you, when this thing really starts going down, and we haven't gotten there yet, but there is going to be power and signs and wonders, and you'll see God fighting for his remnant. And those are the remnant as described in Revelation. These are those that keep the faith and testimony of Jesus and the commandments of God. Now, I've said this plenty, I've taught about this plenty, but you need to get in Revelation. But we have taught on this. But make no mistake, there's this stuff, you know, the church, you know, is not ready for this. Many of them just won't walk that way. Many of them are waiting for a pre-trib rapture that's never going to take them out of here. Now, I'm sorry if you're a pre-trib rapture, and if that causes you not to listen, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to believe that, help yourself. But this thing is coming down. There's things that are going to happen. There's going to be things happening, and you really don't want to miss them. Now, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He went to his own, which were the Jews, and they didn't receive him. But he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And see, a lot of them, there were people that believed on him. He had multitudes believing. But when you get to the high priest, even the Apostle Paul didn't believe until later on. And, you know, you have the Sanhedrin. You had some of the Sanhedrin, some of the Pharisees believed him. But for the most part, the high priest and a lot of them did not believe. They were more afraid than anything because they were afraid that they would all follow this Messiah, this young preacher that came out. Remember, he wasn't a Levite. You know, he wasn't ministering in the temple. He could go in and read the word and tell people things, but he was not a Levite priest. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. His anointing and his power came from the Father. It didn't come from men because he was a Levite. And see, that's why when we talk about no greater love, see, the love we talk about, you know, flowed out of the Father through his mercy. And through God's mercy, because he loves us and he wants to redeem us, that's motivated by love. And out of those two things, the instrument was grace that God used. Because he loved us, he decided to give you a thing called grace. Grace is God's favor. In other words, he gives you tools. You don't earn them. He just gives them to you. And the one tool that he gives you, and that is the law of faith. And I've talked about this a lot too. Because you can't come to God unless you believe that he is, that he exists. So without faith, you can't please him. So it required faith. And so that's how we got in the faith, which was totally opposite of what the Jews believed in. Theirs was law. Now see, not all the Jews were like it. Because if you go back to the time of Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, you had Caleb, you had Joshua, you had Moses. And out of that whole group, of course, you know, the adults that came out of it, all of them perished in the wilderness because of sin. But God said of Joshua and Caleb, you know, they had a different spirit about them. And of course, Joshua ended up in leading the children of Israel. He was the one anointed to lead because he had served with Moses. And Caleb, you know, led it. And these were old men when they went into the promised land. And they're the ones that slaughtered the giants. And so, you know, when we talk about power, when we talk about what was really going on here, you have to understand, we today have been living in a society that has had everything. And our religion has conformed to that. Because somewhere along the line, we decided that God doesn't heal. Somewhere along the line, we decided that, you know, all these other things that we have a tendency to do. We changed the Sabbath, we changed the holidays. And there's a whole reason why they did do that. And I've discussed that in times past. And, you know, there was not a good relationship between the early church and the Jews. And so by the time certain of the forefathers in the faith came around in later times, they got tired of this enmity with the Jews and having the Jews in their religion, so they changed everything. And of course, that's how come you wound up with Sunday being your Sabbath. Well, Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is another day, and yes, you can go to church on it, but the Sabbath, God's Sabbath, is mentioned in Genesis. And that's the Sabbath you need to be keeping. That's the one with the blessing. But you're not going to go to hell if you go to church on a Sunday. But I'm here to tell you, there are things that we've been fed, and it came out as, short, as far as when we speak about what is true. They came on the short end of truth. And, of course, when Christ came, he came into a mess. Because he was coming in telling them that he was the Son of God. That he is this Messiah. And he had these signs and wonders, totally upset their apple cart. And the thing of it is, they got so worried that he was going to lead everybody away from them. And the Romans would come and take away their, you know, what they had. That, you know, you wind up with that. So, you know, this is a good thing to understand. He went to his own and he received him not. Now, in Israel today, there's Messianic Jews that know the Yahshua. And you know, they will keep the feasts. They will keep a lot of this stuff. And they will love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they love Christians and they love the Jews. But yet the Jews don't like them. And there's enemies over there. And some of them, you know, the world, the devil wants to make the world where it's not a friendly place to anybody that knows Christ. Because he knows his day is coming to an end. One of these days, Slewfoot is going to be thrown down totally. And all of those Slewfeet that followed him, they're going to be thrown down too. But make no mistake, what you believe in today is paramount to what you do every day. Because you are surrounded by people that are ultimately taught unbelief or belief in some other system. And even the Christians. Now you see, folks, I've been there as a youth pastor. And I've been there on a Sunday morning service going upstairs as the deacons. I've told this story several times. Two of the head deacons, the head board members came down. And they stopped me in the middle of the stairs. There's people all over, and they were mad. And they said, you need to pack your bags, and you need to get out of here because we don't like you here. You're too zealous for the Lord, too on fire, and we don't like your kind here. And those were Christians. So I basically, you know, there were people that were supposed to be good, godly Christians that should have been fasting and praying for their, for me as one of their pastors. And instead, because I was on fire, they didn't want me around. But then, an old missionary told me in his Acts class when I was going to school, he said, preach with your bags packed because they can kick you out of these churches. They'll do it. And he was right. So make no mistake, folks, having a lukewarm, backslidden, sleepy church is not good. You need a church and a pastor and a board that is on fire, that know what fasting and praying is, that are willing to believe in power and signs and wonders, that God does all the things that he did back at the time that Yeshua was walking this earth. Nothing has changed. I am the Lord thy God, I change not, he says. Now, see, the important thing of it is that sums up these verses is this one, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, that's being born of God. Now, it's further explained in John chapter 3, you're born of the Spirit. There's a power involved when you believe. It's motivated. There's a number of things that motivates this or fires it. And, of course, faith is what you have to have. And usually, and I'll tell you, people will try to get born again for various reasons. And I've seen it time and time again where people will accept the Lord, especially people in prison. You got to really watch people in prison because, in the old days, we'd lead people to the Lord in prison, and that was a tool they used to get out. And so today now there's a lot of imams that are in the prison system, and a lot of the people that are converting, there's a lot of Muslims being converted in those prisons. And so at any rate, there's a born again, but it's not born again by the church. You know, you're not born again because you even got water baptism. Water baptism is just an ordinance of the church to fulfill righteousness' sake, but it's not the means of you getting saved, as some people teach. No, that's not even scriptural. You're born again of the Spirit. There's the power of God involved that fundamentally changes what's inside of you, and your insides are swept out. The Lord tells you that. The strong man is overcome. And the reason that he's overcome is because you've accepted the Lord and you've repented of your sins and you come to him. So the process is receiving him in John 1, being born again of the Spirit in John 3. Then you can get in Romans 3 through Romans 6. And it talks about confession is made into salvation and sinning and things. That explains the whole thing, process a little bit more. But it's a power and it's a will of God. And so you're not just sitting over there because, you're a Catholic. Now, and believe you me, there's people that believe that if you do not belong to their church, you're going to hell. You know, you're in perdition. The Muslims are one of them. If you don't belong to their church and their temple, that's it. Mormons are really bad about that. That's not my problem. That's their problem. And, of course, the Catholic Church is another one. And there's a lot of others. I know churches, and I prayed with Christian families that I knew that were caught up in some of these organizations, and they wanted to leave and get out of it, and they were accosted, and they were ridiculed, and they were harassed. See, and that's what happens, and that's exactly what happened to the Lord when he faced the Jews. People in religion do that. Now, see, as born-again believers, see, this is the problem that you have. Scripture tells us that if someone comes to your house that doesn't have this gospel, you're not even supposed to bid him Godspeed. Now, see, I'm going through this for one reason. There's no greater love than what Christ has done for you. And see, that greater love was manifested by the Son of God who came because he loved the Father and he loved us. And when we become born again, that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is given to us. There is a difference involved here.
And see, when we give the word, we preach the word, or we tell people our testimony, that's your witness. That's what God wants in the world, is a witness. And then the Holy Spirit deals with those people. And if you're required anymore, the Lord will lead you. Now you see, we're living in this world of just absolute godlessness and rebellion. And see, this leads me to 1 Corinthians 15. I like going through this because this is Paul's testimony. He was one born out of time, out of due time. He was not one of the first apostles. He persecuted the church. He said he did it out of ignorance. But see, God had plans for this man. And no matter what he did, God's forgiveness and his love was more than enough to change this man. I mean, this is a guy that was terrorizing the early church. And in one encounter where he was blinded, he saw the vision, he was blinded, he was fell off his horse, you know. I say knocked off his high horse, that's what it was. And he sat around for several days, blinded. And a guy came in and laid hands on him and prayed for him, and the scales fell off. And that is the beginning of the Apostle Paul. And see, if God can do that with this guy, he can do it with anybody. See, that's what love manifested does. Now, this is what Paul says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. So he's talking to people, the Corinthians, that he preached to them this gospel, and it's one that the Lord gave to him. It's a one that he got saved by himself, and these people have received it. And he says, by which also you are saved, if you keep memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now you know what he says, by which also you are saved. Now see, today, Christians say, and I said it from the beginning of being saved, I said, I'm saved. My aunt, who is my grandmother's sister, of course, before she became a Four Square minister, my dad was sitting at the table, the kitchen table, and she came in to the room from outside. She came in the door, and she screamed out loud, I found God. And she was just beside herself. She had found God, gotten saved. And she was a new woman. She's never the same. She became that Four Square minister and stayed that way her whole life, ministering the gospel. Now see, it takes a power to change people like that. It changed my dad. My grandmother was a godly woman. But you see, Paul had an experience. I had an experience. Tower had an experience. And see, that's the love manifested, no greater love. And see, the reason that this series even began in the first place, the Spirit of God put it in my heart. And this consists of talking about the no greater love in the world. See, and that's who we want to talk about, what we want to talk about. Because we are in a world of godlessness, hatred, unbelief, false prophets, false leaders, unmitigated evil, and people today have no hope. What's more, there are Christians that need healing and deliverance, and there ain't anybody around with enough knowledge and understanding to bring them healing. So they stay sick and miserable. and they end up getting on the wrong pills, you know, and we've said to ourselves, healing is through doctors, and God does use doctors. I've been in the hospital twice in my whole life, and they knocked me totally off my feet. And I believe God for healing. I believed it up till the time I had to. I told my wife, finally, you got to get me to the hospital. And if I'd have waited any longer, I'd have died. But you see, the bottom line is, I am convinced today that God intended for his people to live above this. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, the proof there is that your food systems, your groceries that you buy from your meat and your vegetables are all tainted today, and they have pesticides on them and things on them that will kill you. And today we have sicknesses and diseases that come directly out of the food chain. And God is saying to his people, number one, we need to understand what we're eating. Number two, we need to believe God for total healing and deliverance. And see, there is a difference here. If there is no food, you believe for food. If there's no food coming, you believe for food. You have faith, you act like it. If there's no water, if God caused the water to come out of the rock for Moses and the children of Israel, he can do it for you. If he rained manna down from heaven, he can do the same for you. God is no respecter of persons. And you're coming into a time when the food chain is not going to be what it has been. You're going to have a time of unmitigated trouble like you've never seen before. And you're going to need a supernatural God that moves in the natural world where you are to bring you supernatural miracles that will bring you physical results. Now see, Paul lived in the world of the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is our schoolmaster to teach us. We wouldn't have known what sin was unless the law told us. That's the way it is. If you think the law is written for the righteous, you're wrong. It's written for the ungodly. So Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. You know, it's really funny. He says he's the least of the apostles. Peter is one of those that was supposed to be the leader of the church. On this rock, the Lord said, I will build my church. But the only epistles that you have from him is 1st and 2nd Peter. Meanwhile, Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament. I mean, he just sent letters out, but it was put together that way. So the big question of a number of people who believe that Peter wrote more, they're wondering where all of his epistles were, what happened to him, and where they went. We don't know. You might find them in the Vatican archives somewhere. Paul goes on to say, for I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Now see, he feels that deeply. Now see, this is the same thing when you get saved out of sin. The devil and your flesh wants to beat you over the head with it. Your flesh wants to make you feel guilty the rest of your life because of the things you used to do. And the devil wants to remind you because he knows you feel bad about it. And if he can get you tripped up over it and falling away, then he's done his job. So the thing you need to understand is when you're dealing with stuff like that, you need to rebuke these thoughts. Now listen closely, folks. Every one of you have had this problem. Every one of you. Unless you were so perfect, you never did anything wrong. And that's highly unlikely, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is something the devil likes to use against you. And there is something in your flesh that the flesh wants to remind you you shouldn't have done. But see, once we confess our sins to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us, and you should do that, you should ask forgiveness for yourself and your family every day. Now, I know that's against a lot of them, because you want to make sure all the sins of omission and commission, that way the enemy can't use it against you. Now, whether you do or not, that's entirely up to you. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. You may. But I believe in dealing with the issues. If you do something that's not right, your conscience pricks you about it, you need to say, Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have done it. Then the enemy can't use it against you, but the enemy will try. So you need to rebuke the thought. You need to rebuke the flesh, because the flesh thought it. That's the man, the old man. And you need to rebuke the spirit behind the thought, because that's really how it got in there, and bind that spirit. And when I bind this spirit, now I'm binding these in Jesus' name, I said. And I do all this in the name of the Lord. I never do it in my name. Don't do it in your name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this. In Jesus' name, I bind this. In Jesus' name, I cast you, foul spirit, into outer darkness. Now, folks, I want to explain the facts of life here. Okay, the facts of life are this, is that when God speaks to you, He'll do it through the Word of God or through the Spirit of God. There's a lot of voices you got to be careful you're listening to. There's a lot of people that think they're listening to us, you know, to the Holy Spirit and prophesying. The truth of it is, many of them don't know what they're listening to. They just guess that it's from God. You can't guess. And second of all, these spirits can speak loud and clear to you if they want to. Especially if they're dark enough. Now, I'm here to tell you that when you're dealing with real, true demonic spirits, they will speak up. They will manifest themselves. And they will talk directly to you. And you need to rebuke those things in Jesus' name. You don't start a reasoning contest with them. You rebuke and bind them in Jesus' name. And so, you might say, well, does this work? Yeah, it works. You might say, I have physical proof. But I might get into that another day, because it was revealed to me. Nevertheless, we're talking about greater love. See, we wouldn't be able to do the half of this, none of it, if God wasn't motivated to love the world and save us. If Christ hadn't come. Now see, this is why the world, and Paul warns us in 2 Thessalonians 2, this is exactly what the world's going to do. They're going to make war, and they're not going to believe in the love of the truth, and that's when a delusion will be given to them, which is really the Antichrist. Paul calls him the son of perdition. Now, I'm not trucking down the same road as a lot of these so-called prophets on YouTube and all the rest of them. They come up with more nonsense you can shake a stick at. I'm not interested in Hopi prophecy, native prophecy, and I've researched some of that. And, I don't listen to any of that. I don't consider any of it. I get into the Word. Now, Paul feeling bad because he persecuted the church. But he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's the way we all are. It's by the grace of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now, that's favor. And God's anointing was in that grace. He was anointed as an apostle to the Gentiles. That's a powerful anointing and an office that he held. And see, when God saves anybody, he gives you grace. And if you fall away, then his grace was in vain. His favor, because you didn't take advantage of it. See, you have to understand that for many years, especially in America, we've taken so many things for granted. But the time for taking granted and looking the other way is over. This is too important. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, if therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Now, see, these are some of the people, and this was a problem. John talks about it as well, is that the enemies of the gospel actually came from a mist out of the church itself. You'll find the same thing today. He says, but if there's no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now you see, all of this says one simple thing, folks, and he sums it up. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now see, Christ did raise from the dead. That is one of the most important lessons we need to understand. That he did raise from the dead. And there are preachers that don't believe that. You know, and being a Muslim and saying, well, Jesus was a prophet. He wasn't as good as Muhammad, but he was a prophet. You've missed the boat. Unless you believe that he is the Son of God and the Father sent him and he died on the cross for your sins, you will not be saved. Simple as that. See, the greater love that we talk about is there. But there are specifics to the greater love. And see, there's a lot of faiths today. And that's exactly what they want people to believe. That everything Christianity taught is nothing but a bunch of bunk. And it's going to get bad because we've got the proof in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Romans 13 and other places. I mean, Revelation 13 and other places. See, they want you to believe that, oh man, that's just nothing but a bunch of bunk. That's nothing. Now see, the thing of it is, if we just had the Word of God and nothing else, you know, that might be something. But see, you've got the Spirit of God. You've got the witness of his Spirit within you that you're a child of God. You got the fact that we know his voice. We can hear his voice. Now see, you have to understand that there is a power within you. And if you think that you can never hear God's voice speaking to you, and he speaks from within, don't try to listen with your ears. I mean, let me tell you, folks, especially those of you who are married and had kids, you know what it's like when you tell Johnny not to do it. Johnny does it. So you say, Johnny, don't do that. Johnny does it. Johnny, I told you not to do it. Johnny does it again. Johnny, if you keep that up, I'm going to really get mad. Johnny does it again. Johnny, that's it. I've had it. Didn't do any good, did it? God goes around your ears. He gets to the process of your decision-making through your heart, which connects to your brain. He operates from the inside out, not from the outside in. You know, when they were choosing David, the Lord told Samuel the same thing. He says, I look on the inward. I'm not like man. I look from the inside out. See, God knows our hearts. Now, I can tell you, while you can look back as a Christian and you can see, well, you know, God's been good to us. If you did not have redemption, it would be terrible. Christ did not die for you just to have a good life in this flesh. Your flesh is corrupted. Your mind is part of that corrupted flesh. It's part of the corruption. All this earth worship and Mother Nature and all this other baloney that you hear in the news and from all these sophisticates. Oh, you know, Mother Nature, when she gets mad, that's nothing but baloney. And you can put an S on it if you want to, but that's what it is. Mother Nature, gag me to death. Mother Nature don't know nothing. There's no mother there. The feminists want a female god. The feminists today don't even know anything anyway, half of them. I mean, we are screwed up. There is our Father in heaven. He is the Father of all spirits. And everything centers around who he is and what he does. And he has given everything into the hands of his Son. And he has a name above all names. And if you look in Revelation, he says, I am the Almighty. Everything has been given to him. And so you need to be born again to put off this body of death, so your spirit, which is redeemed, will live in the body God has prepared for you. You don't want to live in this body the rest of your life. It is, you know, you got to take a bath all the time. You got to have deodorant. You know, I mean, you know as well as I do, this body, and as you get older, believe you me, you can feel it. No. Dear God in heaven, God has prepared things. You put off this old body, man. Let that thing go in the ground. You're going to get a new one, kid. God's got plans for you. You think you're going to sit around in a cloud as a spirit playing a stupid harp? You think God saved everybody just so he could populate the clouds? Come on, give me a break. Where does this foolish ideas come from? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of dead, of the dead. Now see, by man, meaning Adam, came death, and by man, meaning Christ, who was fully man and fully God, came the redemption. And see, all men are going to be judged. See, it's given unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's where the curse comes in. That's where the fall. Because you're going to stand before God in the great white throne judgment. And there is only one rescue and salvation from the second death, and that is Christ. That is why he came. For as in Adam, all die. If you want to stay in Adam and stay in this body, you're going to die. Your body's going to die. Your spirit's going to come out. It's going to have to face the judgment. And it is going to be full of sin. And it is going to die. But even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. He was the first one. And afterward they that are his at his coming. Now see, he is coming. Now, I warned you about the pre-trib. I didn't tell you that he wasn't coming. Give me a break. Y'all get too excited over pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That doesn't mean a bit. That's just nonsense. Forget all of that. That is theological, man-made nonsense. But I'm here to tell you, we're in the end of days, and we know better through Revelation. I'm telling you, Christ is coming. That's what you have to look at. Being prepared. Occupy until he comes. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. And that's what he's going to do. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. He puts everything under him, but of course he doesn't put the Father. Because in the end, when it's all said and done, he'll hand the entire kingdom back over to the Father. Now you see, you're going to be part of that. And that's what we want. Who wants to live in this mess? I don't know about you. You know, and God's been good to me. But I have other plans, kids. Doesn't involve living forever on the earth in this present state. It involves total redemption in a new body, and I plan on finding my fig tree and living under that. I'm planning on planting a garden in the millennium. I mean, if Adam tended a garden, there's no reason I can't tend a garden. There's things I'm planning on doing. So make no mistake, love manifested and no greater love. There is a reason. So at any rate, we left off, we're going to be leaving off there. And we'll be in John 1. No, we've already done. I've done John 1. But I've got to do it again. I'm going to have to make a note of that. No, that's... Yeah, I did that. I'm talking about my notes here. Actually, it's just the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. For those that have heard, bless them, Lord God. Help them. Give them understanding, Lord, and meet their needs. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word and the receiving of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm here. Boy, that went by fast. Exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Good. It's good to hear that. And, you know, you got to refresh your memory. All that. And it's amazing, the true, sure word of God. And he was witnessed, and it's amazing.
Well, that's true. You know, exactly where, you know, what we do. We preach the Word of God. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's so many things, you know, and you know as well as I do that, you know, we've talked about this a lot, miracles and signs and wonders in the last days. We've talked about, you know, that God is going to do this. He is going to have. There's going to be a lot of people martyred. A lot of people are going to die, but there is going to be a group of believers. Now, some believers aren't up to it, but there are going to be people that believe in the Lord, that you'll see miracles and deliverances that you have never, ever seen since the time of the early apostles and even Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is coming.
Oh, it is. That's exciting.
We're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Enjoy your Shabbat weekend. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you for all you do for the King. May God bless you richly.
Yep. Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.